We're going to open the Senate Committee on Education today, February 15th. And thanks for, I want to thank everyone for those of you who sent Valentine cards to Senator Gelser. She was very pleased that she got all the cards she got. No, I'm just kidding. She wasn't paying attention. I had to get her my attention. So with that, we'll have a public hearing on House Bill 4099. And with that, we will have a short explanation, and Representative Leininger and Representative Johnson and Terry Brandon, if you want to all come up, that's a great place to start. We'd love to have you up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4099 delays the requirement that school districts must implement a child sexual abuse prevention instructional program for students in kindergarten through grade 12 until July 1st, 2017, directs the Department of Ed to conduct a study on the implementation thereof and to report on back to the interim legislative committees no later than February 1st, 2017. It declares an emergency effective on passage.
And whoever would like to be the illustrious start, Representative Leininger.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, and members of the committee. I'm Ann Leininger, state rep for House District 38, Lake Oswego in Southwest Portland. We are here today with House Bill 4099 to support a really great piece of legislation that was passed last session, Senate Bill 856, which we received notice from superintendents in the districts that we represent has some implementation challenges and would be benefited by a little bit of study about how we should implement the bill. And the bill has to do with educating kids age K, kindergarten through 12th grade, about how to protect against child sexual assault, which is really important, and I 100% as a mother of kids in our schools 100% support it. But when the two of us went to a superintendent's meeting that I think a lot of us go to during the interim, we heard that there were concerns about exactly who should be implementing the curriculum and what four times a year in each of those grades should look like, and if that was the right frequency, and if a full class period was what was required for each one. And so we, in consultation with the Department of Education and the School Boards Association, we concluded that it would be ideal if we could have a little bit of extra time and folks could put their heads together about the best way to implement that. So I'll turn it over now to my co-chief, Rep. Johnson.
Do you have a copy of that one, by the way?
Yeah.
Perfect. Here we go. Chair Roblin and committee members, thank you for allowing me the freedom to be here, as opposed to where I was for the last 4 hours. For the record, Mark Johnson from House District 52. Fresh air is always good. I will start off just by saying, as a visual aid, permission to use a visual aid, Mr. Chair, this would be the quintessential February bill.
Oh, I like that.
Three paragraphs. You'll get a couple.
I do like that.
A couple,
yeah.
Amens.
There's excellent quality in a bill.
Exactly. Thank you for having us. This is not an attempt at all to dilute the intent behind the original bill, but it arises from concerns that have been raised to me by my superintendents in my district and others across the state, but just that implementation is just the question in the original bill. Are certain programs that may already be in place, would they qualify for the notification and so forth? And all we're trying to do is just take a little more time, let ODE work on the rules to where it's clear for everybody just what needs to be implemented and what does not and so forth, so that everybody can be on the same page. And I think you'll hear from a superintendent here exactly what they're talking about. But it's in no way an attempt to roll back or dilute the very serious subject matter that we have in front of us here. But I think there's genuine support for the base bill itself. It's a very important topic. It's something that's obviously something very needful, but we just want to make sure it can be implemented successfully and doesn't entail undue hardships on the part of districts. So that, in a nutshell, is what it's all about. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Roblin, members of the committee, I'm Terry Brandon. I'm superintendent at Riverdale School District, and I'm here on behalf of the Multnomah County Superintendents Group. And we spoke to this at the meeting Representative Leininger mentioned. And some things came up as we started to look at this. One of the things that concerned me the most is I didn't even know as a superintendent that the bill existed until the recap came out from COSA and OSBA. And it was to be implemented that year, and last fall. Some of the issues that kind of comes to my mind is they talk about trained instructors, but there's no guidance in the bill as to what that really means. Teachers may have trouble managing kind of unmanaged memories resurfacing if we start talking about child sexual abuse in a classroom. If a child comes forth with that, does a teacher know what to do with that? Because that's very critical. You move into a therapeutic mode when that happens, and our teachers need to have the training in order to do that. So there's just a number of issues that kind of came up, and it struck me that we could have putting teachers in a position with a large group of students, the classroom size of students, and having private memories that come forward and kids having to relive this and teachers maybe not being prepared in how to deal with that. So I've already spoken a little bit with the Department of Education and volunteered to help them with this. I think we need to bring in some get some therapeutic input as far as how do we do this? What's the right thing to do when that kid if there's a child that talks about something that's happened to them at that particular time in a classroom full of kids? So I think it would be very beneficial if you could move this on and pass it, because it'll really help us successfully implement a very important bill.
Any questions? Yes, Senator Boettcher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if we do this, we're not going to come back in another year and ask for another year, are we?
No,
we're going
to
get it done in this year. Okay. Thank you.
I would just add, Mr. Chair, that this is a case, too, where emergency clause is important, because right now most districts are in noncompliance with the bill, the base bill, Senate Bill 856.
Any other questions? I'm concerned that you didn't have really a lot of notification. That frustrates me. I think GOSNOs go about putting their stuff together as quickly as they can. This bill must have had an emergency clause.
It did. It does.
The original, no, the original one, too.
Yes,
yeah.
It does.
Otherwise, because then it's coming out as soon as the bill passes, so then they have to take a while to get the information out to you. I don't know what happened with the Department of Ed, of whether they've given any. Have you gotten any edicts or?
Not that I'm aware of. And I know that of the superintendents I speak to on a regular basis in Multnomah County, Portland, and so forth, none of them were aware of this. That was on the plate. I noticed when I went back and looked at the history of the bill, it went from introduction in the first introduction to passage within 30 days.
Yeah, pretty fast.
Pretty fast. And it's a great bill. I mean, it's Aaron's Law, which I'm sure you heard that before. Mm-hmm. But you need a certain amount of training when you start talking to children about these issues. And if you don't have it, you can do more harm than good.
Yeah, I agree with that. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you.
We will. Is there anybody else out in the audience who came specifically or inadvertently here and decided they wanted to say something about this bill before I close the public hearing?
Good question.
They just showed up, and it seemed like it was something they wanted to talk about. No one. I'm going to wait a second, because last week I forgot somebody who got up, and I didn't let them get all the way up. So, yes.
Is there somebody here from the department that could answer questions?
Is there anybody in the department that would like to answer questions? Come on up. Thank you.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Emily Nazarov, and I'm with the Department of Education.
So I guess the question here would be, I don't take, usually don't take positions on particular bills, but has there been information developed to give to school districts to make sure that they understand what compliance means and where they're supposed to go, and whether or not they've had time to get the training necessary to do that, in your opinion?
So, in terms of getting information out to districts, I know that we did a legislative update at the COSA conference in the fall, and I talked about this as being one of the bills that was passed. Our staff usually sends a memo out to the field. Eli Sanders is our sexual health education specialist, and he's not here today, so I can't say exactly what went out, but I can find out. In terms of guidance to the field, when we go through our rulemaking process, we send out, our proposed rule and ask for feedback on that. In this case, our proposed rule, the only change we made to our rule was to say that the four sessions would be the equivalent of four class periods. Otherwise, it was basically implement the bill as it's written. One of the things that we testified last spring when Senator Cano brought this bill was that pretty much everything that was in the bill is already in Oregon benchmark. So districts are already required to be teaching those things. There are some particulars to the bill that are a little bit different. And we did hear concern during our rulemaking process from stakeholders, advocacy groups, and superintendents about how this bill would be implemented. And so that's why, you know, in consultation with Representative Leininger, we said we would be willing to take on the work of pulling people together and figuring out how this could be implemented in a way that makes sense.
Any other questions for the department? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, with that, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 4099. And we have a couple of options. We can work to move to a work session if everybody feels like they want to move that way. We can set it off and have a work session on Wednesday. So, Senator Canope, your bill was part of this last time. Thoughts, concerns, suggestions with respect to a work session or not?
I would just say maybe we should take till Wednesday and check with our districts and make sure that they don't have any concerns.
Okay. So I might as well say it now. We will move House Bill 4099 with a work session only for
carryover
to Wednesday. Okay. So with that, we will open a public hearing on House Bill 4023.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4023 requires that certain individuals be considered residents of a school district in which that individual attends a school, even if their legal residence of that individual is no longer within the boundaries of the district because of a district boundary change. It takes effect on July 1st, 2016.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Open enrollment.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, David Williams representing the Beaverton School District. What you have before you is a fairly technical change to residency status for students, which would currently impact about 25 kids. So last fall, the Beaverton and Hillsborough School Districts entered into a joint conversation looking at several areas of their adjoining boundary. The upshot of that conversation is they did end up altering two areas of that boundary, in a sense moving a portion of Beaverton into the Hillsborough School District and vice versa, a portion of the Hillsborough School District into the Beaverton School District for a variety of reasons. This bill does not affect that boundary change. However, in the process, the students that currently reside in those areas, the promise was made to them that we would do all that we can to ensure that they would be allowed to remain in their current school district should they choose to do that. Well, under existing interdistrict transfer law and as well as under open enrollment law, there's no way to guarantee that these students would be allowed to remain. They would have to go into the existing lottery process. Thus, the bill before you today, which would allow, when districts alter their boundaries, and only when they do that, it would allow students who are currently enrolled in those school districts to remain enrolled so long as they remain continuously enrolled. It's essentially a one-way street. So the student that is currently in the Beaverton School District but would now, at the end of this fiscal year, be in the Hillsborough School District, may remain in Beaverton until such time as they either graduate or choose to go to Hillsborough. Once they choose to go to Hillsborough, they no longer have an ability to come back under this statute. It's a sort of one-way street from that perspective, but it allows the student the choice to continue their education in the district that they're in now.
Questions, Mr. Williams? Yes, Senator Cano.
Would this affect people who are in virtual schools?
Mr. Chair, Senator Canope, no, because people enrolled in any of our virtual charter schools are enrolling in them under the charter school statute, and essentially charter schools operate under an open enrollment status as charter school law dictates.
Okay, thank you.
The only other question I have is this, as I looked at it, it does not give any rights to siblings who have not started school already. Is that correct?
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair. It does not. It's only for students who are currently enrolled in those districts. Under existing interdistrict transfer law, however, I can preference siblings of currently enrolled students. So we felt fairly comfortable that once we secure that initial student in the district, so long as they haven't exited the district by the time their sibling comes along, they're not 18 years apart or more, we can preference their sibling under current interdistrict transfer law or open enrollment law, either one. So we can get the sibling in, we just can't get the initial kid in under current law, hence the statutory change.
Any other questions? Yeah, I mean, as I look at it, it is clear that this is only a very select group of kids, and the opportunity is to go either way, depending on where you were in this particular district. Okay, any other questions for this witness? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there, again, anyone who inadvertently or otherwise ended up in this room in front of this committee and found that they had a dying urge to talk about this particular bill? I see no one. This is shocking. Okay, with that, we will close our public hearing on Senate Bill 4023. And again, I will entertain whether we should have a work session. Any concerns about it? I talked with Senator Hass, who said it would be fine. He was okay. So we can keep it over or move the bill. Which would you rather do?
Be one last thing.
Okay. Senator Canope, I will entertain a motion.
Work session, yeah.
I will open a work session on Senate Bill 4023, House Bill 4023. Got to get used to that. First day of new House bills instead of Senate bills. House Bill 4023, Senator Canope.
Chair Roblin, I move House Bill 4023 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Canope moves House Bill 4023 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the bill passes, and we need a carrier. Is there anybody who would love to?
I would say Senator Hass should carry it as punishment for not being here.
I will see with him, but we'll put Hass as the carrier. And
well, he's close to
he
it.
Does,
so.
He is close to this issue, too, so I think that will work. If he declines, we'll figure out what to do after that. But we'll see how that goes. I think he's in good shape with this bill. So with that, anything else to come to good order? We have a couple more bills that have come over, plus the one that we just sent to Wednesday. I think we also have a public hearing regarding
what? Informational hearing, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, about instructional hours that the Oregon Business Association has asked to present. So that will happen on Wednesday.
We have a few other people who have asked and requested that we have some public hearings about some new information. We will do that. There was a request at the end of the last meeting to maybe have a start and a kickoff to have a conversation about governance of K-12 or K-20 or whatever, along with the lines of what Senator Cruz's bill was. So we may have something to do with that as well.
Mascots?
Huh?
Mascots?
No, not about mascots.
I do other things.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the discussion on instructional hours, I think I raised this the other week. There are some pretty significant concerns, at least in my school district, about the impact of the new rules on the progress that Corvallis is making on really hitting it out of the park high school graduation rates. Would you entertain the idea of allowing the CHS principal to talk about the challenge those
rules
are?
Have a conversation. We'll see if we can move it in this time or have it afterwards. I think that's a good thing to do, have a conversation about that.
Okay.
And if not then, we can work some time in. Because I agree, I think that there are some that are having some significant issues. I think there are ways in which that can be dealt with, but I have no problem with the conversation.
Okay. Thank you.
And if we have time next week, if it's going so well, I think both could work, but they need to get a hold of Richard to see if there's...
Okay. I'm just thinking it would be a nice, for a balanced presentation,
yep,
with, I think I'm anticipating that the perspective might be different coming from OBA, and it might be interesting to hear what that looks like from the
I
classroom.
I would be open
to
a conversation, yeah.
I think that would be a good idea.
Okay. Any other thoughts or concerns about what's happening the next couple weeks?
Steps.
And then, so with that, We will adjourn our Senate Education Committee meeting for the 15th. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for being here. Meeting for the 15th.